Okay. There were a couple of things that I wanted to go back to in terms of just day-to-day life, domestic chores, the services in the plant, the extent to which you availed yourself of them. Those are some of the things that, because we had, I remember asking about being involved in the recreation programs in the plant, and you talked about the Civil Air Patrol. We stopped right about there. Do you recall any of the
I don't know if that was the plant. I'm not sure if it was. I'm not sure if I learned about that through the plant or if they sponsored it or not. But no, I didn't, because I think the LERC was just beginning in those days. Mm. If it was, in fact, I don't even know if there was anything like that.
Yeah.
And I was very busy with, domestic chores, taking care of my little boy. You know, I didn't go out in the evening or anything anyway. So it just wasn't anything that I had time for or was interested in doing.
And you're only... the only service that you used in the plant was you went and spoke to the counselors about child care.
About child care, yeah. There was one woman there, and I didn't find it helpful, really. You know, she just gave me the name of a place, and I took Jeff there. He was there 1 week, and he just was terribly upset when I went back for him. And I think now, good Lord, you take a little boy, you know, and he... No matter what you say to him, I don't really know. And I left him, you know, and went away. And so I didn't like, you know, the condition he was in and all that when I went back. I don't mean anything, I suppose, emotional, when I went to pick him up. And then another one she sent me to. And when I came back there, you know, they had changed his name. Because the woman's name, the little boy of the house, her name, her son's name was Jeff. Jeffrey, so she didn't, we couldn't have two Jeffreys, so she decided to call Jeff, you know, like Jimmy or something like that. And I thought, my God, you know, I can't, anyone as insensitive as that is not going to have another whack before the little kids.
No, it seems okay. I tested everything. I tested the tape. I tested the machine.
I mean, for the squeaking, I don't know, sometimes if it started, huh?
Now, was that the only occasion that you had to use the software?
Well, I don't know that it was publicized. I'm sure, you know, I probably didn't think I needed a counselor for women, except for some place to, as soon as Jeff, I found out about the child care facilities at the elementary school. It was really so much better than having him. I checked with his doctor, his pediatrician, who said it was probably be better for him to be taken out that early in the morning than to be go through this kind of hassle. So, you know, I took him out of the Jacqueline Jeanette place. This Jeanette school was called Jacqueline Jeanette, and because, you know, it was extremely expensive, and besides, she was forcing him to learn to read, and I thought he was too young. Now I wish I'd, you know, I have second thoughts about that, but I thought three was too young to sit with school books. So it was a combination of two things. So I was looking for something else to do with them. And then the child care at school really worked out so very well. Hard, you know, to get up and get him there in the morning before 7 o'clock. But,
now, I think when we talked about the child care before, you said that except when you would drop him off or pick him up, you weren't, you had contact with teachers at that point, but there was no... parent group that you were involved with.
No, they didn't do it either. I'm quite sure they didn't do it. They would have. I don't think they ever mentioned. I know they didn't mention it. And I just think that it was just something. It was all very new then. It was not an old thing. And there was always the funding was never there. You know, there was always some. Well, we were always waiting to see whether they were going to be continued for another month or 6 months or whatever. It was much more reasonable. It was very low cost, really. I don't remember what it was. I have no recollection, but I know it was much cheaper. And he seemed to like it. And it was nice, and he was home at night.
Now, what about, were there other things that you recall in the plant, like the plant store, or being able to pay bills, or shopping?
No, nothing like that. I'm sure there were. I would be sure there was nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
This was way back in the 40s, you know, 42 to 47 when I was there. I would just be sure there was nothing like that at all.
Now, we talked a little bit about in the plant, how where you were a minority, and you told me that your mother had some experiences, but that was off tape. I wonder if you can.
Yeah, I was talking about my mother because she was trying to be, you know, to grow, and she mentioned, she came home and told me that I should be proud of her because a black woman sat beside her, a colored, I'm sure she said, sat beside her at lunch, and she didn't get up and move. So for her, that was such progress.
Do you recall any experiences in your work sites with either minority women or with migrants from Oklahoma, Texas?
I don't really, no. I don't. So I did the riveting on the tail cone, and that was with one person, yeah. Floyd Elder, who was a white, middle-class type. And I'm sure that when I was teaching sheet metal layout, or the riveting, when I'm sure, as I recall, there were minorities already coming into the plant then. Mm-hmm. I don't think there were really any when I first went in. There were not very damn few anyway.
Yeah.
They were very slow to hire minorities, I believe. And I don't remember that, you know, what I thought about it or anything of the sort.
Mm-hmm. One other aspect of the implant was if you'd ever used any of the medical services, the nursing services, if you ever had any injuries.
Yes, I remember that I did once or twice when I'd have something. I remember. Really, you know, things, not much ever went. I remember one time this elbow was pinched in a door that came shut. It was a pretty sickening kind of thing that it didn't require any treatment. And I don't think, you know, I didn't really very often get hurt.
Mm-hmm. So you don't recall anything?
No. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. You could go to the, people could go, but really I think it was quite I don't think people did get hurt very much.
Mm-hmm.
It was an airframe manufacturing company, really, so there wasn't so much danger, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things, we've gone fairly far in terms of your going into the training program and then going into the planning department,
mm-hmm.
but I'm wondering, before you moved to the house in Burbank,
mm-hmm.
if you can recall how you managed your double duty there with laundry, cleaning, all of those sorts of things, because you were working do you recall how you would manage your household chores?
Before I moved to Burbank? No, I don't. See, Jeff was, at that time, Jeff was staying all night. You know, he boarded at Miss Jeanette's school. So he was just home Saturday. I got him after work and then took him back Sunday before he went to bed. And we just had a small apartment, as I recall. I think we just lived in a one, what did we have? At that time, one time we had shared a house with a man for a short while, and then we had a house, two-bedroom house. That must have been afterward. I don't remember, but I know we had a one-bedroom apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-room apartment with a bed that pulled out of the wall right before Jimmy went into service. So I don't really remember how I did it.
What would you do in terms of meals, in terms of dinner?
Cook dinner when I got home. And breakfast, I don't think we had breakfast. I think we made coffee and took coffee. Mm. I know we took coffee in the car with us. Jimmy and I rode together, my husband and I rode together.
And did he help with the shopping with laundry, or did you?
No, I'm sure he didn't. Yeah. I'm sure that he didn't in those days.
Okay, now one other thing I want to ask was, when you did marry him, at that time, did you have plans for more family?
No, I don't think so. See, I was still, I was just beginning to work at Lockheed. I'd stopped, I don't remember when we got married. I guess I was at school. No, it was when I was working at the toy manufacturing company, I think. And we didn't have plans for more children because I was working, and I had Jeff and I supported him, and I expect, you know, just we just never really thought of having more children.
At that point, when you were first married and then went to work at Lockheed, how did you define your future at that point?
I don't think we did. I don't recall that we had any plans. Jimmy was not interested in children, and neither was I. And you know, I didn't really. I was afraid always that if we had one, that he would, there'd be a big difference maybe between them.
Mm.
It was just always, I was always tense about the whole thing. I didn't want to have any children for that reason.
Did you plan on going back to school after the war?
Oh yeah. Yes, I did. It was already my senior year. Oh my. And another thing that I thought of that I had not mentioned before, if I hadn't had Jeff, I would have been finished with school and teaching school, and I never would have gone to work in Lockheed. There would have been no occasion for it. And I'm sure that I would have missed that whole experience.
Mm.
That was...
Now, we had talked about the job in the planning department. I just wanted to try and pin down... if you can recall, when Jimmy went into the service and you bought the house and moved to Burbank, how long you'd been working in the planning at that point, or if you were just entering into it?
I think I must have been just entering planning.
Mm-hmm.
I was finished with the school, I'm quite sure. And I don't remember when Jimmy, let's see, I couldn't figure it out if it were important what year it was, because Jimmy was going to be 26 in August, and he went in, for instance, in January, or before, not too many months before August, and he would have been, I don't know, he was born 1918, so whatever year, he would have been 26, 74?
I think 44.
44, I mean, so that's when. Yes, it is, because I bought the house when Jeff was four years old.
And at that point, you were working in the planning.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we can start at that point with continuing, because that means that something like early 44, then you would have been working in the planning department.
Probably so. I worked there, it seems to me that I worked there most of the, longer in the planning department than anything else, I'm quite sure. The other things were fairly brief, although it seemed like a long time at the time. I think actually in the B-17 and the wing jigs was the next largest chunk of time, and I did anything consistently there.
Now, the first job in planning, you were making changes on the Bombay.
No, I was modifications. It was air conditioning, or whatever you call it. Yeah, air scoop, air scoops and things like that on the. And that was on the PV-2, I believe. I'm not sure. It might have been the B-17, but I'm pretty sure it was a PV-2 that we were working on. That. That's when I first came back to the plant. And I don't remember how long I worked there, some months. And then there was an opportunity to go into preliminary planning, which was, you know, the most interesting of it all. And I did that.
And what did you do on there exactly?
That's what I did, the plan the bomb bay doors and the flight station. Planned all the tooling for making the parts and routing them through the plant. So it was really, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were doing that and enjoying it so much, did you have thoughts about pursuing this as a career rather than going back into teaching?
Not really, because I knew that this was temporary. You know, I knew there was not going to be an opportunity for women to stay out there.
Mm-hmm.
They laid off, we expected to be laid off. It was really because of the war, and we needed the bombers and all that stuff. So, you know, I didn't really expect it would be a career. I think, I'm not sure, I think I would have probably, I really can't say, but I know I thought it was a challenging and exciting career to planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might have been happy to do that.
But you didn't, for instance, think of maybe going back to school in engineering rather than going back
I wasn't really interested in engineering. planning is more interesting, I thought.
Okay. And then, did you stay on that particular job till...
Till I was laid off, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was still on the modifications?
The modification was down in the plant. When I went into preliminary, this is preliminary planning. And that's different. That's whenever modifications are made on planes that are already extant,
mm-hmm.
and the sign has to be changed, you know. So then you go in and cut out holes and put in other things to make them work better, or whatever the engineers have decided they want to do. The preliminary planning, you work on preliminary prints, and these are planes that have never been made before. And that's the fun of, you know, the excitement
mm-hmm.
of it is to, you're working on something that's just never been done before.
Now, were those still on fighter planes, or were those beginning to be
mm-hmm.
Commercial?
No, this was still fighter planes.
Now, you talked about the way the groups were set up in the office area.
Yeah.
There would be 12 or 13 in a group. Did
uh-huh.
you stay with the same work group then?
Yeah.
Until you were actually laid off?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Now, when the layoffs began in 45, I mean,
uh-huh.
with VE
mm-hmm.
Day and then
mm-hmm.
with VJ Day, what were your own thoughts about what was going to happen? When did you anticipate getting laid off?
Every day and never, you know. We talked about it, you know, quite often, but, you know, when they went by and we didn't get notification, we thought, oh, maybe something's going to happen, you know. Because so often before it had, you know, they were always, at the last, oh, God, I don't know, months and months, maybe even a year, the rumors were around, you know, that this time there's going to be a layoff of so many more people. And as the more often you were passed by, the more often most of us felt, well, gee, maybe something's going to happen and we'll be converting to, you know, peacetime
mm-hmm.
working today. And I think I would have been quite content to do that. I still had a long haul to go back to school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking forward to the financial struggle of going through that.
Had you been able to save some amount of money during?
Yes, I did. I saved enough to. Well, I paid my house payment almost a year in advance,
hmm.
and I had insurance, $10,000 insurance, which was quite expensive. I paid my insurance for a year in advance so that I wouldn't have to cope with that while I was off. So that really took quite a chunk of money.
And then were you getting an allotment?
part of the time I was, and then Jimmy went an awful lot of the time. Jimmy was, when he was in Texas, he worked at the Hughes Tool Plant. They got a lot of guys from the service who said that they knew how to do tooling, and he'd worked at Lockheed, so he said he did, and worked there, so that for those, whatever amount of time
mm-hmm.
that was, a year or two, I didn't get an allotment. However, I sent back to Jim the part that he took, that they took, for instance, $50 out of the GI salary, and he got something ridiculous like $79 to begin with. So I sent back to him whatever amount they took out of his thing, so that I didn't really have much help there. But that's when I had my mother paying room and board, and my sister Dottie had come out then before somewhere along the line. Soon after I started back to school.
Oh.
And so she came and stayed there and paid room and board too.
Oh.
So that's what I got by on the two. I got my gasoline and food money, you know, for all of us out of that. So.
Oh. Well, now tell me about the layoff when it actually came. Were there others in your department that had been laid off first?
I'm sure there must have been, but not very many because I was pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
And, see, there were women who, some of the women who had gone into planning were women who had been there in the office job types of things and got sent to this school. There really weren't very many of us. I don't remember how many women, but certainly less than 20 altogether,
mm-hmm.
I think, who got into it in that
mm-hmm.
time. And so I was pretty new for the planning department.
How were you notified exactly on your
way? I don't remember. I think we got a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's
how did you feel when you got it?
I was sad, I'm sure. you know, my God, what am I going to do now? Sort of thing. You know, I knew what I was going to do. I was going to go back to school. But the prospects seemed like a long time. And I was thinking to myself, you know, there's a lot of difference between studying and reading. And I was into this environment out there with factory people. And there's a lot of difference between the way people talk in factory jobs and schools, for instance, talk and react. And so I thought, God, I don't know if I'll make it or not. I was apprehensive about going back.
Mm. Were there others in your department that were laid off at the same time, do you recall?
I'm sure, but I wasn't, not in my little group, mm-hmm. and that's with the people. We're really too busy to be too close to anybody else.
Do you recall when your actual layoff notice came?
No, I don't.
It was into 46, though, I gather.
Let's see, I'm pretty sure. Let's see, I've stepped and figured out some other times. And, oh, spring 47, I was laid off. And then, it might have been December 46, but I'm quite sure it was spring, winter 47. And then I went to the first summer session at UCLA in summer 47. Then after that six-week period, the guy I worked for at Lockheed before called me and asked me to come back for 8 weeks. And
in
I did.
Planning?
Yeah, in planning, only we were down on the... There are a lot of things that need to be cleaned up, need to be done down on the floor. So it was no longer preliminary planning. It was some other kind of planning.
Now, during that, did you collect unemployment at all during after you were first laid off?
No. I wonder why. I wonder why we didn't get the unemployment.
So you had a summer session,
mm-hmm.
and then you went back?
Then I went back to work. It was supposed to be a 6 or 8 week deal. I mean, I told him that I was going back to school, uh-huh. and so I couldn't work. And he said, well, that worked out very well, because that's all the time they needed me for. So mm-hmm. actually, it was probably 6 or 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was 6 weeks. There was a second 6 week session before school began again. If you remember, you know, there were always two out there in those days that we had semesters.
Now, do you recall severance pay or...
Oh, no, there was no severance pay. And I wonder why we didn't get the Social Security or whatever. What do you call it?
Unemployment,
yeah.
It might be because you were going back to school, but you didn't...
No, I think it was because there were no jobs. I mean, I knew Dan wouldn't want to go out and find another job. Working at a plant, and I just think that we didn't get it in those days.
No, you didn't actually, you don't recall going down for it even.
No.
Because I know the union was trying to do some work in people who were having trouble collecting, but everyone was eligible, even if there weren't jobs. They were eligible.
Isn't that funny? I see, I'm probably never thinking of me. And I'm sure it never crossed my mind to you, isn't it?
So by the fall of 47, then, you were back
in school.
School.
Yeah, right.
Now, was the money returned yet?
Let's see. It's funny, that whole period in there is pretty vague to me, what happened. I think he did. No, I think he returned from the service, but he didn't really stay very long after the service. I don't think he stayed. I think that we broke up within 6 or 8 months after.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure. That's what happened.
Oh, so it was just a brief period when you were together again.
Yeah.
Now, before he came back, had you fairly well decided that you were going to separate?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't recall that we had decided that in mind at all. But I think we've gone apart quite a lot during with that. We always had a very strange marriage to begin with. Like I told you that, you know, I paid for Jeff and split things up and that sort of thing. And he went out on Friday or Saturday nights and every Saturday night. So it wasn't exactly your natural little nuclear family.
Now, how did back to school then?
It was difficult, yeah. It was... The reason I went to the first summer session was to sort of, you know, get my hand in again, you know. I took French, which I loved and did well in, and I think probably only two classes. Well, you can take only two classes anyway. So I don't remember what else I took, but something just to sort of, you know, ease me back into the whole project.
And you had a year left there?
Yeah, and then now we have grandfather clauses, you know, and that sort of thing to protect. But in the 5 years I've been gone, they had changed my major.
Mm.
It was no longer available. And so I had other classes that I had to pick up. So I went to a year and two summer sessions.
Oh, okay.
So I had three classes to take after. Mm-hmm. Two classes first summer session and one class the second. So that I finished my class on Friday and went to work on Monday at elementary public schools start earlier than New Zealand. So I was off just one day, you know, before, not one day, I got off Friday. And, you know.
So that was then in the fall of 48?
Yeah.
In other words. And during that whole year and a quarter, you weren't working, you were primarily...
Going to school. Yeah.
Using the room and board that your sister and mother...
Yeah, and some, and I got that 6 weeks at Lockheed, and I'm sure I had some savings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but not very much. I don't recall how much. Anyway, I managed to get by with that, and with Dottie came out, I think, in the fall. And so I had some money saved
mm-hmm.
up.
And your plan at that point was to go to return to teaching?
Yeah.
And then what happened after once you started your teaching job?
Well, I worked at Edison Elementary School for a year and a half. And didn't like it at all. I hated the principal. And just, you know, it was just a terrible environment. I thought, I said, yeah, this is teaching, and I really spent a lot of time for nothing. And then we had a woman, Fane Oskoff, came over as an assistant principal. And, you know, she had said everything that I'd heard at UCLA, because she was a UCLA grad. And, you know, I just knew that that's the way teaching could be. So she then went over to Lincoln School as principal. And I asked for transfer over there and went.
No, where is that?
That's Burbank. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And not very far away. But, you know, it was just night and day. That's the way I thought school should be.
Mm.
She's just a marvelous woman. And
how did you like working with the children?
Oh, I loved it. It was really everything I thought it would be, even better, you know.
Mm.
I mean, even over... At Edison, I loved working with the children, but the administration was really... For instance, the kids were not allowed to talk during lunch. And, you know, can you imagine? And they had to eat everything on their plates. No matter how much they ate it. You know, even out in the lunch shelter, the kids who brought their lunch sat outside under a lunch shelter. And they couldn't talk while they were eating there. You'd be punished if they taught.
And were you expected to, as a teacher?
And to enforce it, oh, you bet. And they had, at Edison, the kids broke rules, whatever, and some kid did something bad, like talk at lunch out in the playground. Then you're supposed to take points off the kid's room. And then they had each month they had an award thing, you know, and the good rooms got rewards and the bad rooms didn't. The bad rooms didn't get an award because the bad kid took the points off the room using peer pressure to try to, you know, which I thought just horrendous, you know, the way to treat children. So I just didn't stand it.
So after a year, you then transferred to
a year and a half, I transferred it in February.
How did you organize your daily life once you were teaching? Your hours were certainly much better than...
Oh, yeah,
you
bet. Yeah.
Do you probably organize your daily life?
And
what role your mother and sister played in the house?
Oh, my sister moved by then.
Oh.
My mother lived there with the Japanese for a long time. Mother still worked at Lockheed for a long time afterwards. Because, in fact, she worked at Lockheed because she had a stroke and didn't go back.
Hmm.
She was 64. And because she worked in the paint shop. And she had a lot of seniority for being in the paint shop because most people didn't like it there and they'd just move on, you know, if they could.
Mm-hmm.
The mother just happened to like it. She just found a home. She just happened to like what she did there. And so she was on there, so she was there for a long time. So Mother would get up and go to work. She had a ride to pick her up outside the house each morning. And Jeff and I would go to...
Now, was he still in an extended day?
No, he no. Wait a minute, my sister... I don't know what was going on. My sister came.